God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
Amen. I think the best thing I can do is open in prayer, so we'll start there. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for giving us another day to serve you, another opportunity to seek to know you here on this earth and to show your love to those around us. We thank you for this opportunity to gather, to worship you, Lord, and to seek to know you more. We pray that your Spirit will be here among us, that you will guide the words that we use, Lord, that both the words of our mouth and the meditations of our hearts will be pleasing in your sight, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. So, I don't know a whole lot about football, so bear with me. Auburn and Alabama football, so you can, whichever one you prefer, I don't care. I mean, if we got teams for both of those. So, the names were changed to protect the guilty, I mean innocent. But sometime in the past, two brothers, Brother Floyd and Brother Billup, went to a football game together. It was an Auburn versus Alabama game. They were both on the Alabama side. So they were sitting next to each other, and as it sometimes happens, as the game was progressing, it kind of was kind of moving between one side and the other who was winning that particular day. So Brother Floyd got a little nervous as Alabama was starting to lose, and he said, I don't want to be cheering for the losing side. I want to be on the winning side. So he started cheering for Auburn. That's not much of an Alabama fan, is it? And a little later on, he got a little hungry, so he went to the hot dog stand, and there were a couple of Auburn fans there bad-mouthing Alabama. So when he went to get his hot dog, he said, I don't want to end up in a fight with these guys, so yeah, Alabama, poo-poo on them. They're terrible. And on their way home, after the game, Brother Billup and Floyd were talking, and Brother Billup was saying, man, if you're going to be a fan, at least be a fan. Like, you know, stick with me through the game. Cheer alongside me. Don't embarrass us by, you know, switching teams on me, so kind of encouraged them. Afterwards, they went to church, and they were having a good time talking with people about the game and the crazy stuff that happened, because it's always crazy. Sure. Well, they were happy, so they were having a good time. But while they were there at church, Brother Gill wasn't having any of it. He was just being a jerk all the way around. Because, you see, he's from Kentucky, and he only cheers for the EKU Colonels. The EKU Colonels. He didn't really recognize that football, basketball are not the same thing. So that didn't work out for him. But Brother Gill gets mad enough that he says, I'm out, and he stops going to church altogether, because he doesn't want to deal with those silly fans of other teams. It's kind of obvious who the bad guys are, you know, who did what wrong, but hopefully that'll kind of help sum up what we're going to work through today. So we're going to start Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23, 24, and 25 is where the message comes from. We're going to start with 23, talk about it, and then move on to 24, talk about it, and then move on to 25. So, Earlier, we had it in the NASB. We're going to work through the King James this time around just because, I'm sorry, I like the King James. I like the way it says it. So, verse 23 of Hebrews chapter 10. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Hold fast. Like the quarterback, when he's got the football, he's got it as tight as he can hold it because he doesn't want to fumble it. That's not a good day when he does. Let us hold fast. Hold on tight, because this is something that you can drop. Hold on tight to the profession of our faith. We profess our faith in God when we tell somebody, yes, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. He is my Savior. We also profess our faith when we act on it, both word and deed. Actions speak louder than words, as they say. And when you act out your faith more strongly than your words, you profess your faith. So, hold fast to not only telling people, hey, Jesus is the way, but also hold fast to living out that Jesus is the way. If you believe, you'll do it. If you don't believe, you don't do it. And just as Brother Floyd showed that he didn't have much faith in his team when he started cheering for the other side when things got hard. I mean, how often do I do that? When things get hard for me to be a Christian, to do the things that God has said to do, how often do I myself say, you know, I'm going to step over here and do the acts of the dark side. I'm going to do the evil thing because it's easier. Rather than sticking with my team throughout, I'm going to bail on them and come over here where it's easier. So, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. When you cheer for the other side, you waver in your faith. You waver in professing your faith. When you jump to the other team and you start professing what they teach, you're not professing your faith anymore, you're professing doubt. A really good example of somebody who wavered is good old Brother Peter. He wavered real hard when things didn't go the way that he had planned and Jesus was under the council and everything was going wrong and he was nearby. And somebody said, hey, you're one of his disciples. He said, nope, I ain't cheering for that team because that team is losing bad. He backed off. He was restored later, so a fumble is not the end of the game. There is restoration. There is hope. There is always hope. But he wavered, and it hurt. You can kind of tell during that restoration process, Peter was in pain because he had to be restored from where he had fallen. So, Peter is a bad example, but what's a good example of somebody who did not waver? Well, Christ. From beginning to end, he never wavered. He lived on our behalf. The most miserable, rejected life, and died the worst death so that we could be accepted by God, so that we could be not rejected, so that he could take our place and we could take his place. So there's a couple of good examples. If you want some more good examples of not wavering, Hebrews, the next chapter, chapter 11, is called, we call it the Hall of Faith, because it goes through, this guy did this by faith. Faith, this guy, that guy, this guy, that guy. So if you want a little reminder, there's some really good examples right there of what it looks like to not waver. But let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. This is why we don't waver. We don't waver because he is faithful. When we do waver, what are we professing? When we waver, we say, he's not faithful. Otherwise, I wouldn't have wavered. If he was faithful, I wouldn't have wavered. That is what we declare every time we waver in our faith, every time that we don't stand firm. But he is faithful, and we know it. So we have good reason to stand firm and not waver. All right. Verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Car ride home. He's encouraging the brother to stick with your team. You know, kind of encouraging. But let us consider. Consider, we think of consider as, what am I going to eat tonight? Let me consider. But this is more in depth. This is, let me get to know you, Brother Rod. Let me watch you intently, because you are my brother, and I want to consider you. I want to know who you are. I want to know more about you. This is, observe fully. This is a diligent, I want to know you. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Rod, we're brothers in Christ. I want to know your buttons so that I can push your buttons and I can provoke you to love and to good deeds. We're family. We're brethren and sistren. So, those of us with larger families often are familiar with how easily we can be provoked by a brother or a sister who knows every little button. I can get you as mad as you've ever been just by saying that right now. That's how what we are called to be. We are called to know each other's buttons, to consider each other, to know in depth, what can I say today that will encourage you more than anything to act out love, to act out agape, to choose good deeds over evil, to strengthen you and keep you from wavering. All right, we're going to go there. Let me check it real quick, find out what I have to say. So we're going to jump to Philippians chapter 2, verses 2 through 5. This is the lead up to a very, very familiar section. But speaking of Christ as our example, Paul speaks to the Philippians, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. So, as a church, solidly together. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. When I read that, I think of stuff. Like, all right, I want to think about your job. I want to, you know, encourage you with, you know, stuff. I want to consider how I can help you manage your stuff. I don't really think of that usually as what we were just talking about, being like-minded, having the same joy, being of one accord, not doing anything through strife or vainglory, but being lowly in mind and esteeming someone else better than myself. These are the things that I should be looking at my brothers and my sisters, and those things of them, of y'all, that I need to be encouraging, that I need to be looking onto, considering when I see vainglory pop up, you know, come alongside and say, hey, let's work through this because we don't want this. Neither of us really want this. So let's encourage each other. Let's work together. Let me help you and you help me at times and at every appropriate season. And then verse 5, let this mind be in you, this mindset, what we just talked about, which was also in Christ Jesus. This is the mindset of Christ. Looking on the things of others, not just his own, but he looked to our estate and said, let me help them. Because they can't help themselves. And it goes on. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, etc. We're very familiar with it. But let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The mind of considering your brothers and sisters to provoke them to love and good deeds. This is moving quick. Might be a little bit of a short Sunday today, but that's okay. All right, so then we move back to Hebrews, and we'll take our third verse here, verse 25 of chapter 10. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. So back in the story, old brother Gil, he bailed on church because he found something he didn't want to deal with. And that's not okay. He forsook the assembly. He forsook the church. And that's not okay. We are told, do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Okay. Why? Well, we've just been told, hold fast the profession of faith without wavering. Well, how do you do that? Well, for one thing, you need somebody beside you to remind you, hey, man, don't waver. You need somebody standing beside you to help hold you up when you start to bend, somebody else to come alongside you to be that, along with God, that threefold cord that is not easily broken. And you can't do that if you never see your people. You can't do that if you never see your people. How do you consider one another? By being around one another. You can't consider the brother and how to encourage and strengthen them if you never see them. And how do you provoke them? It's really hard to push somebody's buttons when you're not around them. And you can't really get that same wheedling look into your eyes as you push that button. You're like, it just puts the icing on the cake. When you can be there. In order to accomplish verse 23 and 24, we have to do verse 25, which is come together in the name of Christ. And so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Verse 23, he is faithful that promised. And we're reminded, he's coming back. And you really don't want to be the guy who was pushing the other buttons when he shows up on the scene and says, hey, I'm back. What you doing? You want to be the one who's pushing the right buttons. You want to say, I'm provoking my brothers and sisters to love and good deeds. Not, well, I'd rather not say. Because I don't know about you, but to me it looks like we're getting a little closer and a little closer and a little closer and a little closer every day. The day is getting a little later. Evening is coming. But with that in mind, we're going to jump to 1 Corinthians 11 and look at some guys who were not doing it right. The Corinthians were getting together, but it would have been better if they hadn't. That's a tough one. So 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting at verse 17, we're going to go through verse 26. This should also be pretty familiar. Paul speaking to the Corinthians. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. Y'all shouldn't even be getting together. You would be better off staying at home. For, first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. Just a little earlier in 1 Corinthians, he's talking about the divisions. You know, some say, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos. Well, I'm of Christ. No. One Spirit, one God, we are all in Christ, be unified. But that was something they were dealing with. Verse 19, for there must be also heresies, or sects, among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. The light shines the brightest in the darkness. If there ain't no darkness, it's kind of hard to tell if the match is burning. So, you know, Paul kind of makes the point. There's going to be a few who bring in the darkness so that those who are the light will shine the brightest. Verse 20. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. Today is the fifth Sunday. Because of various things, we decided we would hold off on having the Lord's Supper today. But I would like to make a small argument for we are having the Lord's Supper right now. Christ, in breaking the bread, he said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Christ is the bread and the wine, his body being broken. He said, I am the bread of life. When we eat the word of God, in some fashion, we take communion because we are communing with Christ. This is Christ. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word became flesh, became Jesus. So you can say that you partook of the Lord's Supper today, even though we didn't have little wafers and grape juice. But keep that thought in mind as we go forward. The bread is the Word of God, who is Christ. All right, now, verse 21. For in eating, every one taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. Y'all. Verse 22. What are you doing? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? Do you shame the poor? Like, what are you doing? If you're hungry, you could have taken care of that at home. If you wanted to be drunk, you probably should have done that at home, not at church. Come on, come on, brothers and sisters, like, why? And so the Corinthians, you know, he says, what shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. I can't tell you you're doing a good job when you're coming together and you're abusing each other and you're rushing to the table to get the food first because, you know, so-and-so likes to eat a lot, so I need to get mine before he gets anything because I can't trust him. Divisions and people being inconsiderate. And then we have the opposite example. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Our Savior, on the very night that he would be betrayed, not only by Judas, but by all of his disciples who abandoned, Peter, who straight up denied him 3 times, served the bread to the traitors. He served himself. He gave of himself to save them. And he gave thanks. He thanked his Father for the opportunity, essentially, to be their Savior. That gets me every time I read through this. Like, all right, the same night. Wow. After the same manner, also verse 25, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. How often do we eat this bread? I don't eat it enough. I don't read the word half as often as I should. I do not partake of the New Testament. I do not partake of the blood of Christ as nearly as often as I should. And when we do, we show the Lord's death till he come. We remember it and we evidence that to the world around us as often as we partake. We're going to skip a few verses here and move on to verse 33 and 34. We've seen what their issue is. We've seen what the right example, what Christ looks like, and the recommendation to them. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. Wait for each other. Don't rush to be the first at the line. Wait for each other. Love each other. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. Every time that I come to church, hungry and starving and ready to jump in front of one of y'all to get my fill of the word, to get my message, or to get my ammunition against one of you to be able to say, you know, oh, you should have been here when this was preached directly at you and you weren't there. Every time I do that, I should have stayed at home. I should have stayed at home and fed myself because I've got the bread of life. It's right here. I am perfectly capable by the Spirit of God of eating at home and should not have come hungry. And yes. come to church to serve, not to be served. So, we've seen some time ago in the New Testament, there was Christ presented himself as, "I am the bread of life, eat me." And when he said to eat, it was a continual munching kind of, be constantly just munching on Christ, munching on the word, have it always in your mouth so that you're never hungry. Like that's, he who is hungry shall be filled. But you have to be munching or you will get hungry. If you want to not be hungry, you got to be eating all the time. And like that's not great for your figure physically, but it's really good for your figure spiritually. That is the way to be. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. A few additional thoughts. We're told in Colossians chapter 3, I have it written down. I have it bookmarked. Yay. Thank you, Lord, for bookmarks. Just a quick, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That's the word. Because an army marches on its stomach. Spiritually, if you're hungry, you ain't going anywhere. But if you will fill yourself with the word and be constantly filled, you can go anywhere and you can do anything because it is the Spirit who works in us both to will and to do. So I encourage you as the praise team comes forward a little early, but that's okay. Hold fast the profession of faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. I need you to provoke me to love and good deeds. But to do that, you got to get to know me. Mm. And for me to do that with y'all, I've got to get to know you. And I can't do that if I'm never around you. Or honestly, if I'm only around you for 2 hours a week, that's not going to be much. So...